Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by sportsshoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Every Sunday we get together with a guest from the distance running world,
giving you an insight into the lives and training of some of the UK's best athletes and coaches.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and all major podcast streaming services.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast, where we post about our past and present guests, host giveaways and much more.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome back, guys. Another week, another pod. Look, this week's guest, we've got Charlotte Arter. Charlotte's got PBs of 15:26 in the 5K, 31:30 in the 10K. She's based in Cardiff and coached by Chris Jones, and it was great to speak to her a week out from Liverpool Cross Challenge. Unfortunately, Charlotte couldn't take to the start line today because of an injury, so we just want to wish her the best of luck recovering from that and potentially getting a discretionary place for the GB team, hopefully if she recovers quick enough. Look, obviously, Liverpool was great today. Just want to shout out Sam Crick from Crickcast Pod. Make sure you check his podcast out because he helped out Matt sorting out some commentary for the race today. We've had some really good feedback on that from Twitter and Instagram. So shout out to you guys who tuned in, and hopefully it was enjoyable for you, and hopefully you could get some sort of understanding of what was going on in the race without actually having a live stream, which is really unfortunate. Also, just want to shout out to the people who won the races today and also made GB teams. It's great stuff, and I think Matt and I will put out something in the week rounding up Liverpool, so stay tuned for that. But look, enjoy this podcast. Charlotte obviously speaks about how she was feeling a week out from Liverpool, but hopefully, even though she didn't race, it's still going to be informative and interesting to you to understand how she's feeling a week out from probably the biggest cross-country race of the year.
An incredible last 12-24 hours. Liverpool, as always, delivers a huge weekend in the cross-country calendar. I just want to take a quick minute to thank everyone who tuned in. Thank everyone who gave us like positive feedback, negative feedback, whatever kind of feedback. I absolutely loved it, man. Me and Sam, we had an absolute blast. And I hope that came across in the commentary as well. So we're just buzzing. I came away just feeling very inspired from the whole thing. So thanks everyone for tuning in. And that's what athletics needs. You know, it needs live coverage on all platforms. Let's just not limit it to a live stream. It should be radio, so you can listen if you're busy and you're out and about on your day as well. So, yeah, brilliant stuff. And obviously, let's get down to it. Charlotte this week, typically, she didn't run in Liverpool, as you guys would know. But, you know, a brilliant guest, and she talks a lot about injury, actually. So listen out for that and how she tackles it and how she's had to adapt training over the years as she's kind of got older and fitter as well. And interestingly, she talks a bit about science and the blood work, as she uses blood lactate now as well. So that's quite cool because it's quite a new thing as well. I know it's been around for a while, but not many people actually know how to use it properly, which is something like her and Chris do. So a great episode, and thanks once again for tuning in, guys, and we'll catch you next week. Enjoy your Sunday.
Right, first of all, Charlotte, thanks for coming on the podcast. It's great to have you on. We just wanted to start with, obviously you had a successful career in athletics for a number of years now. We just want to start with New Mexico, really. Would you say that's probably where things started getting really serious for you with running?
Yeah, I guess so. I think up until the age of 18, I was sort of doing a majority of sports, and it was only really at 18 when I went to UIC in Cardiff that I purely focused on athletics. So I think, and then, you know, through my time at UIC, you know, under James Thee and the group there, I managed to, I'd say like my athletics career progressed very nicely through those 3 years. I guess got a bit more serious then when I went to New Mexico. Fantastic opportunity and, you know, a couple of years where I had, you know, a great time and look back really fondly. And I think it was actually really when I got back from New Mexico that obviously then I got my first GB vest, and I think that's when really my athletics career kind of like took off a little bit. I think up until then it was all very much developmental and just sort of steadily progressing. There are a few years sort of where I plateaued and things, but yeah, I think it was more when I got back from New Mexico that that's when I really started, I guess, making some GB teams and getting to the level that I've kind of progressed to now.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, New Mexico at the time was loads of Brits out there. Was that a big kind of factor in deciding to go there, or was there other things as well?
So it was actually Adam Bitchell, so who was at UIC with us. So Joe Franklin, who's the head coach in New Mexico, he got in contact with Adam, and I think they were sort of getting the ball rolling. And I think he was like, do you know any other athletes who want to come out? And myself and Chloe, who were also with Adam at UIC, Adam put our names forward to Joe, and obviously we'd done well in Bucks and stuff, so we're at a level to sort of, you know, get a scholarship out to New Mexico. So yeah, there obviously were a lot of Brits out there, but I think we looked at other, I sort of looked at other universities out there, but I think New Mexico was the best fit, I think, for that part of my career. And yeah, we were certainly looked after really well. You know, you hear different stories of people going to different universities in the States, but on the whole, I think we were looked after really well, and Joe generally cared about us as athletes. And having lots of Brits there was great, but they're obviously a really good bunch of Americans on the team. So I think it was a really, really nice mix.
Mm. Who did you cross over with there, Charlotte? Who was in your team? Because obviously Freix came through. Was she a little bit after you?
Who was that, sorry?
Courtney Freix. Obviously she came through New Mexico as well. Was she a little bit after you, or?
Yeah, so we didn't cross paths. Yeah. So sort of my cohort, I guess, was Susie Bose, Joanne Harvey, and then a year later was like Tamara Amouche, Nicole Roberts, Ross Matheson, Alex Cornwall. So we sort of had our, well, you know, a master's out there's 2 years, so did 2 years, and then I managed to get another cross-country eligibility, so sort of faffed around for like another year and enrolled on another master's, which I sort of didn't need a year off, but I was sort of at that point was just like, I just want to stay out as long as possible. And then sort of Alice Wright, we sort of we had a couple of years with her, and then we obviously got the bronze at NCAA cross country champs. So I think then it was the year after, I think they then got the gold. So, I mean, yeah, it was a pretty awesome time to be involved in the New Mexico team, really. And I think it was, there was a great bunch of girls part of it. So no, it was a great, great cohort to be a part of.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, a huge achievement. And obviously the NCAA is this weekend, isn't it? On Saturday.
Yeah. So.
Are you still in touch with them at all, the coach out there?
One of the coaches out there does like a newsletter, which he sends to all the alumni, which is quite nice. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's nice to see what they're up to. And I think they're really interested in sort of how we're getting on here. You know, sorry, the dog's squeaking. I'll just take that toy. I definitely keep track on what they're doing, and yeah, I don't know what they're hoping to get at Nationals this year, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
For sure. Do you remember what your PBs were when you started there, and then what you finished on at all?
Oh gosh, you're testing my knowledge now. So I was actually going out as an 800, 1500 meter runner.
That's crazy considering what you do now.
And I think Joe was sort of training us more, I guess, probably 5K, 10K, but I was still racing 1500s, which is why I think then when I came back to the UK and sort of stepped up, I think I'd already had that base behind me. I mean, we were doing 10-mile, 12-mile tempos out there. You know, I think because the likes of Alice and a couple of others were there, sort of 5K, 10K, I think he just sort of stuck me at like 1500 a mile, which, yeah, I think we were definitely training more as distance. So, PBs. I don't know. I think I maybe ran my 1500 meter PB out there, which is 4:14. And before that, I think I maybe just dipped under 4:20 before I left UIC. But yeah, very much 8:15, and then obviously the cross country. And then yeah, went up in distance when I came back.
Mm-hmm. Let's chat about transitioning back then, because some people really struggle with that, and obviously you've already highlighted to us that was probably where it really kick-started for you. How did you find the transition back into life in the UK?
After my first year in New Mexico, I was like, I never want to leave. And I was just like, was absolutely loving life. And then I did another year, and actually by the end, I was sort of ready to come back to the UK. I think a lot of my friends who I was obviously with through my undergrad had sort of settled down and got jobs and things. I thought, you know, it's probably about time to enter the real world. So I sort of was ready to come back to the UK. And the obvious place to go back to was Cardiff. I think I knew from a running perspective, that was the best place to be. A lot of my friends from undergrad were still sort of around there. So I just headed down there. So I think it was 2015 I got back. So just was sort of applying for all sorts of jobs, because, you know, I certainly wasn't a level to be able to, you know, go full time as an athlete. And actually at the time, that's not what I wanted to do at all. I wanted to get a job and continue my athletics sort of as alongside it. So I was lucky enough to get a position at Cardiff University as performance sport officer. So I was effectively running the sports scholarship program there, which I don't know, as a first, when you've done a sport degree, I think sometimes it's hard to go straight into the sport industry. So I felt really fortunate actually to be able to go straight into working in sport, and absolutely loved it. And so I was happy just sort of, you know, doing that and doing my running. And as I say, the sort of running side just sort of took care of itself. I think it just sort of was all clicking from the sort of endurance side of things. I think I'd built in New Mexico and obviously been at altitude, and actually had very few injuries out there, and actually had a pretty consistent couple of years. So I think it just sort of all came together. So yeah, transitioning into the UK was, I think I was just lucky with how it all panned out, really.
When did you, what are you doing now? Are you working now full-time, Charlotte, or are you part-time?
So I took a career break at the end of 2019. So I worked 3 years running and working, and then Cardiff University were great and offered me a career break, which at that point, that was kind of the end of 2018, was sort of, I guess, I think of a bit of a breakthrough year. That was when I qualifying time, won Highgate, so British 10,000 meter champion, and then qualified for Europeans, which sadly picked up a niggle and couldn't do. But I think that was sort of the point where I realised that maybe I should just give it a shot as a full-time athlete. So I took a year out, and 2019 was just running. And actually, I then, it was too much, had too much time. I think I'd always worked and run, and suddenly I had all this time and I didn't really know what to do myself. So I didn't actually particularly enjoy that year. It was great, you know, having all the time in the world to do everything, but I sort of just missed the focus of work alongside it. So currently now I'm gone back to my massage qualification, which I got through my undergrad degree, and I'm just working part-time doing some sports massage, which I feel I've got the perfect balance at the moment. So I've got a couple of days working, and then I've got my key session days free to be able to knock it down and get some good work done.
I got to admit, I do think like freelance jobs like that, where you can kind of choose your hours, is just the way to go for athletes.
It's just, you've got a bit of extra money coming in, and it just gives you another focus. I think, as I say, you know, I guess running is my job, but I also have always worked outside of it, so I think it just gives me the right balance that I feel I've got it pretty spot on right now.
That's interesting.
It's really interesting that you say that, because I think people who don't have the chance to maybe go full-time think ice the best thing in the world, and it's what they need. But then I think a lot of people do find that actually there is almost too much time in the day sometimes.
Yeah, I think it depends what sort of person you are. I think if you always like to keep busy and do things, then I think it is a struggle then going to just running and having nothing outside of it. Some people love it. Some people could happily watch Netflix and do that all day. And I just don't think that's sort of who I am. So I think, yeah, I feel I've got a pretty good balance right now.
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to chat about the kind of the 2016-2017 season a bit, because I think it must have been like a pretty big breakthrough for you in that you came second at Liverpool in November and then went on to run 15:40 and 32:37 the summer afterwards. Why do you think that was such a good year for you? Because I guess you'd been back for a year or two at that point.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Haven't really thought as to why that potentially was sort of the breakthrough, but I think just a year of coming back and having the base that I'd built in New Mexico, but then maybe just getting the balance right and training a bit more and sort of, I guess, targeting those sort of the longer distances, 5K, 10K, I think it just came together. And, you know, I think 2016 was my first GB best potentially. I think that was when I did Edinburgh, and then first qualifying for the European cross country champs. So that was a big year in terms of breakthrough to getting a GB best after all those years of sort of just going through the ranks through juniors and then up through senior. I don't think there's many, I don't know what the stats are of sort of athletes getting best that late in their career, but I guess I still feel pretty underdeveloped as an athlete. I think, you know, gone 30 now, and I still feel like, you know, there's definite areas to improve, but I think it's really over the last couple of years that we've just figured out exactly what type of athlete I am. And now under Chris Jones, which since that was actually in 2016 that Chris Jones started coaching me. And I think it took, you know, us a couple of years to really figure out what sort of athlete I was. And I think we've now absolutely honed down as to the type of training that works for me. And it's now about getting the consistency in. That's the issue with me at the moment over the last couple of years, is the consistency. And yeah, that's what I'm hoping to build on over the next few years.
I mean, you've won it before. Like you said, you've come second. It's interesting, when do athletes start thinking about Liverpool? Like someone like yourself who is genuinely, you know, going for the title. When do you start thinking about Liverpool? When do you start training for it?
I mean, the training for it, I guess, once we sort of started, you know, August, September, this sort of winter block, I guess the main emphasis and goal is to qualify for the Europeans and then to be in the best shape at Liverpool and then hopefully go on and sort of place as high as we can at the Europeans. But I mean, you can't get complacent. You never know what's going to happen at Liverpool. So that is the main aim. I guess now it's only a week away. I guess it's really starting to think about it a little bit more. But we've had a nice little block actually since I sort of had quite a lot of racing sort of through August, September. And now I've just had a nice couple of weeks just to knuckle down some training. So sort of itching to race a little bit because I feel like it's been a little while. But yeah, this whole winter, the whole last couple of months have been gearing towards Liverpool and Eurocross.
Mm, for sure. Like, is Liverpool different from other cross-country races? It feels like it almost should be like our national champs or something of that level, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's funny, isn't it? Like cross-country's... Sorry, this dog. Yeah. I mean, cross-country's a difficult one, isn't it? Because it spans such a long period, really. And, you know, I've only really ever done it sort of this side of Christmas. And occasionally, obviously, when Edinburgh was there, would go and do that in January. But I don't think I've done an inter-counties for a really long time. So yeah, for me, it's definitely the biggest domestic cross-country race. And I think a lot of people see it. It's got a lot of emphasis, hasn't it? You know, it's got, you know, top four get automatic selection for the Europeans. There's a lot riding on it. And yeah, it's just, I guess there's so many, you know, then when it comes to March for inter-counties and things, you know, people can be hitting the road, people can go into the US for getting ready for track. So it's, yeah, it's a shame that it's, I don't know, I think it's good you've got two opportunities, haven't you? You've got Liverpool, which, you know, could be seen as a national chance, but then you've obviously got the inter-counties then in March as well. But yeah, it's always the highlights, and, you know, to have missed it last year makes it even more, you know, a bit sweeter that we've got it. You know, really missed cross last year. So yeah, no, it's good.
We'll be looking forward. What's your preferred terrain? Cross, road, track?
Oh, I don't know. I think part of me always, I mean, I do love cross. I think that's where you start as a kid, isn't it? Cross country. And yeah, and I love it that it's just a very pure form of racing. Yeah. You know, there's no emphasis on time. It's purely just racing, who's there. And that I really like. But I also do love the road. I think the track, I don't feel like I've ever been in shape for the track season where I've shown my potential. I've sort of shown on the road with my times, but not really translated that to the track, but that's usually because my feet absolutely do not like the track and I tend to pick up niggles in the summer. So I think road and cross are definitely my favorite.
Let's talk about your preparation for Liverpool a bit, because obviously you've raced on the cross, you did Cardiff Cross Challenge, won that, and then ran super fast 31:30 at Leeds the week after. What was the thinking kind of going into those, doing a bit of cross, a bit of road, and then obviously, like you say, taking a bit of a break from racing, going into Liverpool?
Yeah, it actually just happened. It was just a really nice couple of weeks of racing, really. It all just sort of fitted quite nicely. And I think because I'd been quite injured through the summer, I felt like where most people were sort of having a break potentially end of summer and then getting back into the winter, I was, you know, coming into some good shape and I just wanted to make the most of that and race because, you know, that's what we train for and that's what we all enjoy doing. So, yeah, I did a couple of road races sort of through August, September. Then obviously always like to do Cardiff Cross and it's just good to start off, kick off the cross country season, really. And then so I trained quite hard going into Cardiff Cross and Jen definitely made it at one tough race. I was feeling pretty shocked going into that race. I think I'd had a big session on the Tuesday leading into it. But then the main emphasis then was to ease right down into Leeds and really try and run a good time there. needed to, I mean, 2 years ago, ran a huge PB there only to find it was 23 meters short. So I was absolutely, you know, really wanted to go back and make amends for that. So yeah, I was chuffed to come away with 31:30.
Were you surprised by how quick it was? Or did you know you were in that good of shape?
I felt like I was in a good shape. I thought I could dip under 32, but I didn't quite think I was going to run that. But I think, we obviously had Jess Piasecki and Jess Judd in it, and those girls went out quick. So I thought, you know, you've got to commit with it, and felt really good. So I just sort of went out hard and tried to hang on for as long as possible. And I think all three of us were rewarded with PBs. So, it was a great race to be part of. It's just nice to be. I personally like being in the mass races for the road races. I think you've always got people around you and you just sort of zone out a little bit. It's literally out and back. You know, it's not the most exciting course in the world, but it's quick and it's just a great race to always have a group of guys sort of around you to pull you around. It was a really good race.
Yeah, I think that is the appeal with road races, is that they're a mass race. So you feel like, you know, there's not so much pressure on that elite end. You're sharing your experience with a load of other people, which is always fun. You talk about sort of hanging on and your mental toughness. You know, if anyone watches you race the cross, especially road, you are so good at hanging on. Like, I would not like to be in front of you trying to push the pace in a cross country race. Where does that come from? You know, have you built that up over the years? Does it just come naturally to you?
I don't know. I just think, my pain face when I'm racing is pretty impressive, but I'm not very good at hiding that I'm in pain. But I don't know. I think it's just, I don't really think about it. You just run hard and just, you know, I think over the years you build up the resilience of it and you just learn to dig deep in those races. So yeah, I don't know.
Do you find yourself able to sort of take it up another gear on race day?
I feel like my training's solid, but I would say I'm definitely a racer rather than training. I think I always hope to step up to the occasion when it matters. As long as I'm feeling in, you know, good shape and got lots of ping in my legs and feeling fresh for it, then I believe when I feel like that, you know, anything's possible. There's been times where I sometimes get a little bit neurally fatigued and just really flat, and as the type of athlete I am, I just can't race or produce anything when I'm like that. And we've seen that happen a couple of times, but I think we now, again, this is just coming as a better understanding as to what type of athlete I am. I think we're getting better at just making sure that I am fresh and going into these races with everything to give.
And you can just put yourself in like that deeper mental state on race day.
Yeah, I think that's, you just, I think if you're fit and you know, you're happy and you're feeling like you can give it your all on those race days, then anything's possible. But I think you've just got to believe that. I think it's having the self-belief and that you can do it. And I think your training that you've done leading up to it, if that, you know, I've had a fantastic block of training for me over the last couple of months. I think, you know, my races over 5K and 10K show that I'm in the best shape I've been in. And I think it's just trusting that and hoping you can produce it on the day.
How much of like science do you use in your training? Because I think it's like quite well documented. You guys at Welsh Athletics, you do use, you know, the data a little bit, and you do enjoy that side of the sport. So yeah, how much of that inflicts your training?
So we haven't actually done a huge amount of sort of blood work over the last couple of years, but this winter Chris has been really on it, and we've been every Tuesday having our bloods taken during our sessions, just making sure that we are 100% working in the right zones. And I think also, you know, obviously I'm training a lot with Jen and Clara, and it's actually making it a little bit more individualized to each of us as well. I think, yes, we're all doing the same sessions on paper, but sometimes he's just tweaking it ever so slightly that we're all absolutely in our right zones for the session. And I think as an athlete, also just understanding the purpose of each session, I think, is so important. So you know your threshold, you know when you're going slightly above threshold. And I think over the last few years, I think that's what, you know, if you really understand the purpose of each session and why you're doing it and why you're working in that zone, then I think that really helps. But it's also having like the discipline and the control to be able to do that in a session. Certainly having our bloods taken, you know, when we've been doing 10 by a K or some miles and stuff, it's just good to know that you've, you know, gives you confidence that you're working absolutely in the right areas, and hopefully over the months as they go on you see the numbers getting better, and then you know, you just, you know, science doesn't lie, does it? So it's just knowing that you're, you know, you're doing everything right. So yeah, it's been really good actually. And I think, you know, again, for me, like, I've always feel like I was the last couple of years sort of coming back from niggles, so it was always sort of chasing fitness, whereas so therefore blood work was sort of, we never did anything. And I think this winter just had a really consistent couple of months, so it's been really good to just be able to now, when I'm fit, be able to monitor the blood. So it's been really interesting, and yeah, I think that's going to continue for the rest of this year and then going into next year.
Yeah, it sounds like it allows you to take sort of a little bit of a longer approach and a bit more of, you know, a cautious approach, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got different
of course,
way of doing it, and and I think we're definitely much more control based as opposed to doing any high end stuff, so it's much more a lot of threshold stuff, and then occasionally we're obviously going above that threshold, but and then some quicker stuff every now and again. But I think for me, definitely, we've got lots of loops measured out on Butte Park now, and I don't think I'm gonna, even when it comes to track season, I'm not going on it. I'm only gonna race on it. I'm just gonna do all my sessions on that. We've got K's marked out, we've got 400s marked out. So I think, yeah, I think that's, we both really enjoy it. I mean, Jen and I were doing a couple of 400s the other day, and God, it goes so much quicker doing 400 meters on the road than on the track. So I think we're both enjoying it. So I think we'll probably continue doing that even going into track season a bit.
Obviously you've been with Coach Chris Jones for what, 5 years now. What's your relationship like with Chris, and kind of how has that developed over that time, because it's quite a while?
Yeah, 5 years, gosh, I hadn't really, yeah, it has been a long time. Chris has been absolutely brilliant. You know, he's taken me from over the last couple of years to the times I'm running now, so he 100% knows what he's doing, and he's a fantastic asset to Welsh Athletics and British Athletics. And you know, he looks after us as an athlete, but also very much cares about us as individuals and our life outside of running. So I think he really gets that. And you know, I think all the three of us, Jen, Clara and I, like, we love running, but we also enjoy our lives outside of it, and I think Chris has always supported that. So he's fantastic.
What's it like having kind of girls that are on your level, like, to train with all the time? Because I guess, like, being kind of an elite female athlete is quite hard to, or quite rare to have two other girls that are running like similar times to you, to be able to train with week in, week out, rather than having to go and train with guys, for example.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. The three of us, you know, for the last couple of years now, have just been, you know, doing all our sessions and everything together, and it's great. We have so much fun, and the three of us push each other. And you know, sometimes there's one of us that's having a bad day, but we all, you know, use our strengths in the different sessions. And yeah, it's really good. I think, you know, be a bit lost. You're talking about then going, when I took, you know, that year out, if you were then having to go off and do sessions and stuff on your own, I think it can get quite soul destroying. So just, you know, a happily easy run on my own, like, put the headphones in and go. But sessions are a different ball game, and so yeah, it's been great fun.
Yeah, you were talking about, you know, avoiding the track a little bit in training, and it's, what kind of injuries, you know, just so other people kind of know your background, what kind of injuries do you get then?
So I guess without going into too much detail, but like, I have very, very mobile feet and not enough strength sort of through calves and foot. So it's all a very big post niggle. It's all on my left side. I think it's just, I'm not great if I'm off on undulating ground, or if I'm in spikes with our inner soles, it's just an overload issue really. And we're just really trying to strengthen my feet, my calves, and just trying to, it's just really annoying because they're little niggles that just can sometimes take, like, after British Champs, 5,000 meters, you know, I lost about 5 weeks because it just got so inflamed, my tib post, and then it's then offloading it. And then I always felt like I was just get really fit. Yeah. And it was just this constant cycle. So it's just trying to, yeah, I think now know, you know, I just avoid sort of undulating ground. I'm just sticking pretty much to road, but I am using obviously like hilly roads as opposed to going off on trails and things. And yeah, the track is definitely the main culprit, I think. So it's just trying to, yeah, I'm happily race on it, but I think we've just learned that that's just the way I'm built. You know, it's genetic, like, I've just got, you know, we always joke, me and Jen, our knee to walls are like 16, 17, and Clara's is like 2 or something ridiculous. Like, it's just got so much movement and mobility through there that it just needs to be strengthened up. But that's been the main cause of all. It's all lower limb issues, but just, tendons and things. I think we've now got a good rehab program to try and strengthen everything up and just know what to avoid.
Yeah, I mean, as well, for sort of other people out there who are kind of, follow that sort of cycle, get in good shape, niggle, get in good shape, niggle, what advice would you give them?
I think, well, actually, in a weird way, it's the whole sort of 2020 was a wipeout. I mean, it was a wipeout anyway with COVID, but I was spent a lot of months. But I think actually we've learned a lot, that I obviously was cross training a lot and I was coming back each time, like, just really strong. And I think actually now I'm incorporating a lot of cross training into my weekly schedule. And I think previously, I'd have these niggles, I'd cross train, we'd get back running, cross training would go out the window, back up to full mileage. Yeah. And it's just, I think just it's the way I'm built, my body just doesn't like that. So I think now, touch wood, I mean, I say just substituting a couple of second runs, cross training, because I think actually I get a lot of strength and actually I get a lot more from it, because I think I've come back quickly from these sort of niggles this year, and I think that's actually, it's not fitness, it's the strength that I've got from the cross training, from the cycling, from the cross trainer, that then with the, then obviously getting the running fitness on top of that, I think that's what sort of married up together this winter. I mean, it sucks when you're injured and, when you have to cross train, it's horrid. But I think as long as you, I don't know what's the best word, just sort of knuckle down and get on with it. But always know that, you are benefiting from the cross training and that it's not going to last forever. And then, it's just trying to keep positive, I guess, through those periods of injury and just try and get out the other side and then, get out of the cycle.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
What does that cross training look like in a typical training week for you now then?
So typically, Monday and Thursday, rather than double running on both those days, I might double run on one day and then cross train on the other. And then Saturday is like a complete rest day or a complete cross training day. So it's just reducing my overall, because our session days are big, and it's just reducing my overall volume of mileage. So before, sometimes I'd be getting into the 80s, I'm now sort of hovering probably around 70 miles, which I think I can consistently do. I think that's when fine. I start going over 80-85, it just is, even if we were putting in a lower week, it was just still too much. So definitely, reduced volume and just adding in a few of those cross training sessions, that actually when you choose to go to the gym and cross train, like, you don't mind doing it. But I also sometimes add in a few circuits with the cross trainer, which is, I was trying to mix things up when I was injured, and I don't know, people in the gym must have thought I was mad, but I'd literally like cross train for like 10 or 15 minutes, hop off, do a 5-minute circuit, hop back on. And I quite weirdly quite enjoy doing it. So that's sort of, I do try and do that once a week if I can. So it's just I think, isn't it?
Do you know what? It amazes me how good you still are on like the cross country, given you obviously do a lot of your training on road.
To be fair, I haven't been off road for months at the moment, so I'm Cardiff Cross was the first time that I ran on grass, and actually being in the spikes the next day, like, my cart, they just don't, I mean, I could feel a little bit my tip post, which it was fine, but it just shows that we're obviously trying to strengthen everything up, but it just does not like the undulating ground. And it's all right doing it every now and again, but that's why I decided not to do Milton Keynes and just knuckle down and then get ready for Liverpool. But I do very little off-road at the moment, which is a shame, because I absolutely love, I absolutely love going off-road and finding trails to run on. And it just, at the moment, I'm just trying to not do it, because I just want to try and stay in one piece. But when I've stopped running competitively, I'll be on the fells and doing all sorts, I do absolutely love it, but I think it's just the way that, until I can get everything really strong, it's just the only way at the moment I can see to stay in one piece. Haven't been on any mud or road or grass for a long time, so Liverpool will be the next one.
Look, you're obviously at the moment competing on track, cross and the road. Where do you kind of see your future in the sport? Because if you're doing a lot of training on the road, do you think it will be on the roads and the marathon at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I do love the roads. Like, road racing is, Road and Cross are my favourites. But I think in terms of the direction that I'll be going down, it will be much more over the roads, and eventually we'll step up to the marathon. So yeah, I just want, over the next few years, want to improve my 10K and half marathon on the road, and then eventually step up to the marathon. But I still feel like I've got very unfinished business on the track. I just feel like I've never really, you know, if I can run 31:30 on the road, you know, hopefully I should be able to run that or quicker on the track. But just, you know, I think my PB on the track's like 32:15, which is way outside what my road is. So it's just, yeah, next year, I think with the Commonwealth Games and the Europeans, like short term, I guess for next year is, you know, is track. And I want to try and, you know, get those standards and get to those championships. And then 2023 onwards, I think then look more to the road. Yeah.
Mm. Let's talk about next year. Obviously, there's loads of championships. How do you go about prioritizing which races and how to kind of navigate that?
Yeah, I know next year is a bit crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's quite nice that World Half's been moved to November in a way, because, you know, with that in March and then trying to get ready for like Highgate and things in May, it all gets quite congested. But I think personally, I'm hoping to go out to America and race that early Stanford 10,000 metres. So I guess any after cross country sort of into the new year, that'll be focusing everything towards that. And then probably come back. Yeah. And then obviously then the next goal after that's Highgate, and just trying to, you know, if I could qualify for the Commonwealth Games and the European Championships, that would be amazing. But, you know, it's tough competition, like women's distance running in the UK is super strong at the moment, so, you know, gonna have to be in the shape of my life in order to do that. But yeah, that's the aim for next year, is hit some early track races and then get ready for the summer.
Yeah, I think Highgate's the big one. It's so good to see it back announced, the date 14th of May, isn't it?
Yeah so yeah, Highgate's one of my favorite races of the year, and obviously with last year it was great to have it have the British champs at Birmingham University, but there's nothing quite like Highgate with everyone there. So I think it'll be even bigger and better, I think, next year.
Mm. Yeah, is that like your favourite race, do you reckon?
That you've ever done? Yeah, and actually, in terms of like, yeah, all across any of the disciplines, yeah, it is one of the best nights. Like, it is, you don't really get that any other track race like that in the UK, do you? So, or even in Europe and things. So it is a very special one to have here in the UK. So yeah, no, it's awesome.
Talk about 10k on the track a little bit. Like, what's it like when you're having a bad day?
Oh, I've had plenty of those. I remember one Highgate, I think after about six laps I was about cooked, and it was the dad was watching on the side, he's like, it was the most painful thing, just watching each lap getting slower, the pain is getting worse. But when it's like that, it's brutal, because it is just, you can't help how many laps you've got to go. But when you're feeling good, you know, it can go by pretty quickly. And the one this year with obviously the wave light made a huge difference for me, because I just decided to stick on that 32:15 light, which a lot of it I was running on my own, but I had that light and I just kept following it. I had to not let it get out of my sight. So yeah, you've got to have a lot of mind games to play with yourself on the track. I think it's 10k on the road, I always feel, just flies by, but a track
Do you think the lights are a real game changer for some, you know, for people, you know, especially Highgate when you're going for a time and stuff? Do you think it's a real game changer?
Yeah, I think it's different, isn't it? If you're in, I don't, I think the lead group, they sort of had a pack of them. So I think if you're sat behind someone and just being able to follow round, then it's great. But if you find yourself off a group, or, you know, it just gives you reassurance. You know, maths is not my strongest point. If I had to try and splits and everything like that, just would not be ideal. So yeah, the lights did just make it so much easier. You literally just follow it and run, and yeah, they're brilliant.
I still think they could be even a little bit more, you know, smarter with the lights, and especially on a 10k. How do you like to run a 10k? Sort of negative split, or you're happy just to try and lock in that pace the whole way and see how long you can hold it? Because I think they put the lights to a negative split as well, I think they'd be even more of a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, never really been in like my fittest shape to be able to really explore the best way for me to run a 10,000 on the track. But I think the 10,000 just gone this summer, I think I just pretty much ran even splits, which yeah, which I guess the wave light was just going at the constant pace. But you're right, if it could then suddenly after 5K sort of speed up to go quicker, then
yeah, slightly, like, yeah,
that could be good as well. So yeah, sure it's possible to do that.
Do you know what you split in Leeds? Do you know what you went through in?
So I went through in 15:30, which, I mean, considering my PB's 15:25, was pretty quick. But I just, you know, I think I just had to go with Jess and Jess, you know, it had to sort of commit to it. But so yeah, my second half, to be fair, the wind was behind us on that first half as well, and when we turned it was so yeah, I did a massive a split the other way, went far too quick and then slowed down. But I think when I ran it the year that it was short, I went through in like 16 minutes and then did a negative split the other side, which personally I think that's how I prefer to race it. So yeah, next time I do a 10K on the road, I think I'd go off a little bit more conservatively and then try and negative split.
It is interesting, that psychology, though, because obviously it takes a lot of confidence if you were to kind of choose to do that and let people go.
Yeah, I think it does give, I think in hindsight, yeah, I think maybe if Jess and Jess weren't there, I might have just sat back a little bit. But I think I knew even if I sort of went off a bit too hard, I had faith that I wasn't going to completely blow up. You know, I knew I'd probably slow a bit and be able to keep going. But yeah, it does take confidence to be able to really trust your training, to be able to sit back. But to be honest, I never really have much of a game plan going into it. I just run and I run to feel. And I think I knew we were running quick. You could see, you know, I could see on my Garmin I was running quick, but it was, it felt controlled. And so I thought, you know, I knew even if I got to 5K and onwards that I was going to slow a bit, I had faith that I wasn't going to completely blow a gasket. So yeah, I just do a lot to feel when it comes to race.
I mean, on that, you know, the longer races, you know, the 10K cross, the 10K roads. Is it hard to set out with a game plan? Because like you say, you just don't know how you're going to feel at certain points. Like, you can set out with a plan and get 2K in and be like, well, this course is harder than I thought it was, or I don't feel as good. So do you just kind of wing it?
Yeah, pretty much. But no, I have recently I've started to almost have like an A and a B plan. So like if things are going really well, like you start the race, you're feeling good, like you have an A plan. Your A plan is to try and win or get a PB or whatever. Then my plan B, if I get a K or two in and like just having a bad day, then it's actually just being able to try and think, oh, okay, this isn't going to plan. And then it's just trying to like knuckle down and get through the best you can. So I think I've learned a little bit more to do that, because sometimes if it was in the past, if I was running and after like a K it was going downhill, I didn't really know how to deal with it. I'd be a bit like, oh, no, like, this isn't good. But so I think, yeah, but most of the time I just run and go with the flow and see how I feel and just run. Sounds a bit crazy, isn't it? I just run.
Yeah, and like how quickly can things change in these longer events? You know, so if you are feeling bad, you know, it's a classic, or I mean, I think it's a bit of a myth, but they say, oh, you're just going for a bad patch. I've never come out the other side of a bad patch. but I'm interested to see an elite athlete like yourself, can you come through bad patches?
I don't know. You hear in the marathon that I think maybe in a marathon you can come out of a bad patch. I don't know. I haven't had experience in that, but I don't know. I personal experience, if I'm having a bad day, I'm having a bad day and I'm not coming out of it. But I think then that comes a mental game as to how you deal with it. So yeah, hopefully come Liverpool, you know, things will go to plan and you won't be having any of these bad patches. But yeah, I think it's just depends, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's so fascinating because in these races, people will make moves. And, you know, me and Ollie always talk, you know, there's very few people in a cross-country race who actually have a game plan and try to win the race. You know, 90% of the field are just there to get round.
Yeah.
And obviously be competitive, but they're just running as hard as they can for 10K. As, you know, someone like yourself does have to think, if someone makes a move at 5, 6K, you know, what do you do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it is literally just trying to stay with the lead group for as long as possible. Uh-huh. If someone doesn't move, if you know, try and go with it. And the end of the day at Liverpool, just trying to get in that top four is, you know, is the name of the game. So it's but yeah, it's just trying to cover any move that anybody makes. And it just, yeah, you just don't know. You don't know what the weather's gonna do, you don't know how you're gonna feel on the day. It's just, that's what I love about cross country. It's just
any mind games?
Sorry?
Do you play mind games? you know, do you try and look fresher than you are? No,
it's definitely, if you look at anyone, I definitely don't look like fresh.
Fair enough.
Now, one thing we love about cross country, like me and Matt always talk about, is just we don't see any of these shoe debates, I guess, that we've had quite recently. So I think it would be quite nice to see who tops the pile without that.
Yeah, I mean, I think these days everybody's got access to a carbon shoe on the road, haven't they? I feel like it is now quite a level playing field in terms of everybody can go and get a pair, can't they? And cross country, there you're back to your non-carbon, I don't know what the carbon cross country spikes, but just, you know, your bog standard cross country spike, which, you know, it's going back to old school racing, isn't it? So that is exciting in a way, isn't it? It's just, old school. Sure.
On shoes and stuff, what are you kind of training and racing in at the moment? Like, what's in your rotation?
So I have two pairs of the ASICS shoes that I absolutely love. I keep one pair for racing, so that's the Metaspeed Sky. So I do all my racing in those, and I wear the Meta Racers for my training, which are quite like an old school flat, but they've got a carbon plate in them. But I find the Metaspeed Sky, I wouldn't want to do all my sessions in them because they just, you get so much return off the ground off them. I think just from an injury prevention side of things, just trying to stick in a little bit less of a carbon plated shoe for my sessions. So my Meta Racers, I do absolutely everything in, which I absolutely love. And prior to the Metaspeed Sky, they were my absolute favourite. So those are my two that I train in. It's quite nice to have a pair that I just race in. I think you feel more pop in your legs when you put them on. So that's what I'm currently training and racing in.
What about easy days? What do you wear for easy days as well?
So easy days, I wear the ASICS Nova Blast. So they're quite a cushioned mileage shoe, I guess. I just literally wear those. Got two pairs on the go that I just sort of alternate. That's the only shoe that I do all my mileage in. Pretty small repertoire of shoes, but it's what works. So just kind of stick with those.
Yeah, no, they are a lovely shoe, the Nova Blast. I wear them myself.
Yeah, they're really nice.
It's an interesting take wearing, you know, like you say, an old school flat, because someone like yourself maybe just wants to strengthen your feet, strengthen the ankles a little bit in training, you know?
You know, physio Adam, he, you know, I think sort of there's been some studies, I think, on carbon and injury and things. And I think trying to keep us out of carbon as much as possible. I mean, I certainly don't wear any carbon for any easy running or anything, or even my build runs. I just have my trainers on. I don't wear any sort of carbon shoe for those. So just trying to prevent injury, but also, you know, you do feel the benefit of being in the carbon. So I think the Meta Racers, I feel, are the perfect shoe for my sessions, because it just, I have got that carbon, but it's not a really thick carbon plate.
Did it take you a while to adjust to the new shoes?
No,
put them on and you were like, these are game changers.
I think if we were all to go back to racing and just, you know, racing flats without a carbon shoe on, I think it would be I haven't put a shoe on that hasn't got carbon in for a long time. But as I say, I think now that everybody can have access, you know, anybody can go and get a carbon plated shoe off the market, which I think has, you know, made it all, yes, times have improved and things, but at least everyone's been able to do that together, whereas a couple of years ago it was sort of like some people had them, some people didn't, and that's when I think it gets a bit unfair. But at the moment, I think it's just the way technology goes, isn't it? Like, every sport, technology moves forward, and this is the way that athletics is moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, look, we're really excited to see how you go at Liverpool next week, and thanks very much for coming on, and best of luck for next weekend.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. As always, if you did, please leave us a rating and reviews. It really helps us out. Look, our code for this week is, again, is SundayPlod10, all in capitals, SundayPlod10. That will get you 10% off and free delivery on sports shoes. Look, Charlotte told you what shoes she wears, so if you're interested in that or anything else, please use our code, and hopefully that helps you guys out too. In terms of our guest for next week, we've got Andy Hayes on the pod. Recorded this a few weeks ago, and it was really interesting to hear about him and his role as the chair of the UK Athlete Commission. So look forward to that, and we'll see you next week.